very much. Thank you very much. Have a seat. Thanks, you can sit down. Thanks. Matthew chapter 13. Appreciate that. And that percentage that was sincere, I really appreciate that. But that was good. Matthew chapter 13. I love coming over to Hiles Anderson College. I love this place. I love our ministry, First Baptist Church of Hammond. And this place has been such an influence on my life. And, you know, I was talking to a sophomore young man, sophomore in high school, yesterday, and our progress report came out for this grading period on Tuesday, and I think out of his seven classes, he had five failing grades on that progress report, and that prompted a call from his father, as you could imagine, and then I set up an appointment with his dad, and in preparation for that appointment, I met with this sophomore young man yesterday afternoon, and I was looking at his grades, and so much of his problem was the fact that he just wasn't doing his work, okay? And he's already nervous. He's sitting in my office across the table, you know, in the principal's office, and understands that his dad is coming in for a meeting, and we're looking at, you know, class by class, and these zeros for work that's not turned in, and I looked across at him, and he is in great tribulation. You know, I mean, he's got tears in his eyes. He's scared his dad's coming in for an appointment, and I told him, I said, you know, I don't know how hard doing your work is, but is it as hard as this? I mean, is it as bad as you feel now? I mean, doing your work? I mean, would it be easier for you to just do your work? And then you wouldn't have to be in the principal's office, you wouldn't have your dad coming in, and I guess it's one of those things where you would have had to have been there, but if you could have seen the light come on in Mr. 5Fs out of seven grades, it was amazing when it dawned on him, you know, you're right. It would be easier if I would just do my work. Now, we'll see next grading period if it makes any impact at all on what he does. Here's what I thought. And I know as a principal, I'm not trying to get you to do your work. Go ahead and do your work, but that's not the point of the illustration, okay? Point of the illustration is this. As I sat here and I enjoyed the opening of chapel, I looked over here once again at people I admire very much, people who I respect, who now in some degree I hold their respect. I don't know what an unsaved, sin-filled life is like. Maybe it's easier at the time, but it doesn't get any better in the Christian life. My point is, it might be hard at times, whether it's fall program, midterms, studying, the work of the Lord, but you know, just doing the work of God, just creates a great life. Again, I don't know, maybe the sinful way might be easier at times, but the end thereof is hard. Like that young man, maybe you have friends, siblings, maybe they chose an easier road and it was easier at the time, but you know what? Nothing compares to the Christian life. Just keep doing what's right. Do your work, so to speak, what God wants you to do. He's got a great life for you. Matthew chapter 13. We have a story here. Jesus tells a parable. Now Here's what we're going to look at. Now, I know I said Matthew chapter 13, and about half of your heads went down. We'll get to it in just a second, okay? But here's what we're going to see. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives a parable. And the thing that I enjoy about this parable is later on in the chapter, a question is asked, and I think Jesus recognizes that they didn't get it. And so Jesus explains the parable, which is helpful, because we find the illustration that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 13. He gives the reason, the exact reason for this parable. That part I enjoy. And we're going to look at that. Again, we'll look at the parable, we'll look at his explanation, and that really is the sermon today. The second thing I enjoy about Matthew chapter 13, Jesus classifies those of us that hear God's word taught. And I mean, think about it for a moment. What group of people hears the word of God taught more than we do? Really, is there a group of people out there? Maybe, but there's not many, okay? We hear the word of God taught about as much as anybody on the planet. So if there's anybody that this parable applies to, it would be us, okay? And Jesus says there's four groups of people that are hearing the word of God. Three of them are not profitable. They're not productive. And one of them is, okay? And if you can put yourself in one of those four categories, another interesting thing about Matthew chapter 13 is the Son of God tells you your future. And that's kind of interesting. You know, I remember a friend of mine, when we were probably 6th or 7th grade, we'd get to church early. And his parents would get them to church early. Mine would get me there early. And we would sit somewhere in the auditorium, and oftentimes we would play this game, and the game started, and all we would say to one another is, okay, that door, and we'd point at a door inside the Jack Hiles Memorial Auditorium. We're sitting in the auditorium, and one of us would say to the other, okay, that door, and the next one's yours. And what that meant to us was whatever walked through that door next was his future wife, you know? So we would say that, okay, you're up, next one's yours, and point to that door. And we watched that door, and sometimes, you know, an old lady would come in with a cane. You know, and as 6th and 7th graders, we thought, oh, that's so funny. Or maybe a sailor from Great Lakes Naval Base would walk in, and we'd get a real big kick out of that. That's his future wife. But the idea of predicting the future was interesting. Jesus tells you here, if you can place yourself in one of these four groups, what your future is. Frankly, I think the thing that should motivate us most, and I think would motivate you most, is that we want to be productive, right? I want to be what Jesus calls a fruitful hearer, right? Somebody that's a good investment. I want to waste the Lord's investment in my life. I don't want to waste the investment of good, godly people in my life. I want to be a good investment. I believe you do too. So it's interesting that Jesus explains his parable. It's neat that maybe you can tell your future, but most importantly, don't you want to be productive for God? Because ultimately, that's the point of the parable, which you'll see here in just a moment. Let's start at the beginning of that chapter. Verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, after that, we're going to get to another, you know, just a few verses over in a moment. One of the disciples, my money's on Thomas, because Thomas was the doubter anyways, one of them raised their hand and said, Lord, why do you speak in parables? And I could just see him kind of scratching his head, like, what was that all about? And I'm glad he asked the question, because it helps. I enjoy Jesus' explanation, because to be honest, maybe you looked at those verses we read and scratched your head and said, well, I just rhymed there. Scratched your head and said, what was that all about? You know, maybe you thought the same thing. So luckily this disciple asked, and Jesus explains. And again, there's four groups of hearers, and watch me for just a moment. We're going to get back to the scripture. Jesus says that the seed is God's word. Over and over again, you're going to see that all four groups of people hear the word. That's the seed. The soil, that's the hearer. That's the heart of mine, of yours, the person that's listening. Does that make sense? Now again, if you don't believe me, you can read it out. Jesus explains that here. But let's look at his explanation of the parable. Look at verse 18 now. So now Jesus isn't talking to a multitude. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And notice what he says, how he explains the parable. Verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, or immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please meet with us this morning. That is our desire. That's why we're in this place. And Holy Spirit, do a work that only you can do. I pray that you would speak as I speak. I pray that you would make application that from a general sermon, and just help us to be better and more productive because of what we discussed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Four groups of people. I call the first one, and I'll tell you what I call them, and then I want you to see if you agree with my interpretation of Jesus' sermon. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a note up here, notes in my sermon. This is Jesus' sermon. We're going to look right at these verses. Jesus gave the illustration. He teaches this sermon to his disciples. He can do a better job than me, so let's look at it, and then I want you to see if you agree with my interpretation of it. I call these four groups. First one, the forgetful hearer. The second one, the foundationless hearer. The third one, the fortune-hunting hearer. And the fourth one is that fruitful hearer. Now, as we look at the verses, see if you agree. Look at the very first one, the forgetful hearer, verse 19. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then the wicked one, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now look back this direction. It's a person that receives the word. Understand again that that's you and I, right? We receive God's word on a consistent basis. The first group of people receives the word but doesn't understand it. Let me ask you a question, and I have my opinion. I'll give it to you in just a moment. But why would a Hiles Anderson College student, a First Baptist Church member, a faculty and staff member at Hiles Anderson College, why would we listen to a sermon and not get it? Why would we listen to a chapel sermon and not get it? Why would we listen to our pastor preach and not get it? Why would we sit in a Bible class and not get it? Maybe it's not being presented properly. I guess that would be a possibility. But hold on, I know the faculty and staff. I know your pastor. It is presented properly, in my opinion. Okay, would you agree with that? I don't think that's why we don't understand. I don't think you walk out of a chapel service, and if you were honest, a few hours later to say, you know what, I don't know. I don't really know what that was about. I'm not sure. I guess I really didn't get it. Can I just put my opinion out there and see if you agree with this? We probably weren't listening, right? I mean, we have professionals here, I mean, who are very skilled at presenting God's word to us. And sometimes I am embarrassed that I have to be entertained in order to hear God's word, that I need a funny story, that I need a funny illustration. But you know what? I do. Just like you, I enjoy that. And luckily, Jesus even taught in parables because, I don't know, it makes it a little bit simpler for me. But we have people to teach us that are skilled. If I was honest about it, and I think if you were honest about it, again, see if you agree with me, I think if we were to give a reason why we would walk out of a service where God's word was taught and we didn't leave with the truth that was given, it was probably because we weren't paying attention. Okay, would you agree with that? Again, you can disagree with that, but that is my opinion. I'm reminded of James chapter 1, verse 25. I love this verse because it ends with, "This man shall be blessed in his deed." And I'm a selfish person. And don't look at me like that, because you're selfish too, okay? We're selfish people. And I would like to be blessed in my deed. Well, man, how do I do that? Well, what's James chapter 1, verse 25 say? "He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." If I want to be fruitful, if I want to be productive in God's work, when the Bible is open, when the word of God is preached, when it's taught, better pay attention. Now, I won't ask, but most of us, many of us, we've grown up in church. And you know what we've developed the habit of doing? I mean, we go to church, and if a funny story is put out there, all of a sudden our brain is in gear, we're listening, the word of God now is being preached, and it kind of just drops down into neutral, you know? And it's, I mean, there's sound waves bouncing off our eardrums, so I guess you could say we were hearing, but we're not really hearing, right? I mean, as a little child, I can remember some of the daydreams that I had in church. Goofy, silly, ridiculous stuff. And I won't even get into it, okay? But just stupid things. As I was listening in church, and now thinking back, as Dr. Jack Hiles was preaching, and I had an opportunity to hear one of the greatest men in history, and I was thinking about that. How foolish. But even more importantly than the preacher or the deliverer, I was hearing God's word preached and taught. And yet oftentimes, I was guilty of being a forgetful hearer. And some of us, that is our way now. That is our habit. We come in here and we sit down, not to get better, right? And I'm not bashing you any more than I'm bashing me. That is our habit. You know, I coach basketball and I love it. And it's basketball season just started. And you know, there were young men at my basketball practice last night that were at that practice because they had to be at that practice in order to be on the team. Do you understand that? They weren't there to get any better. You know, they endured practice because they wanted to be on the team. Why are you in chapel this morning? I know. It's mandatory, right? Okay. Do you know there's a big difference in enduring and being eager, right? In being willing and being eager. I remember I had an aunt that just used to, and she's in heaven now, so I'll be careful what I say, but she used to love to kiss me on the cheek, and she was a big lady, not real big, because she's listening, but she was a rather large lady, and boy, she just liked to swallow me up and give me a big kiss, and you know what? I can just remember kind of, you know, being all up in there and just kind of turning my cheek and just kind of taking one for the team, you know, just, hey, this is what I got to do, and so, hey, I'm willing to do that, okay? A little different than maybe a kiss from my wife, not one that maybe I'd be willing to take, but one that I'd be a little more eager to take. Big difference between being willing to endure a basketball practice and a young man that shows up eager because he understands that I want to get better. That young man, boy, he's going to get a whole lot more out of that practice, and that practice in his life is going to be a whole lot more productive than somebody that is just willing to endure it to be on the team. Don't be a forgetful hearer, right? I don't know how many times I've said it to a young person from Hammond Baptist Schools. Look, you got to be here from 8 o'clock to 3:15, right? It is mandated by law that you go to school. You might as well get as much out of it as you can, right? Well, look at how our machinery is set up in our lives. Our machinery is set up in our lives that 11 o'clock on a Friday morning, we're in chapel opening God's Word, listening to truth from God's Word. Well, guess what? You got to be here from 11 to about 12 o'clock anyways, right? So you might as well get as much out of it as you can. Are you a forgetful hearer? Number two, notice verse number 20. He that received the word in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, or immediately, again, the word means, with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. But he dureth for a while, for in tribulation persecution ariseth because of the word. By and by he is offended. This hearer. Now, this guy is a little different than a forgetful hearer, because he's listening. He's listening enough to maybe even say amen. It says, immediately with joy. Now, you see his attitude? He's eager, isn't he? He wants God's word. However, he's got no root in himself. I'm going to ask you a question. I remember Dr. Don Boyd, many times I heard him say, ask questions. Questions cause the audience to analyze themselves. A statement may cause the audience to analyze you. Right now, if you happen to be listening, I'm trying to get you to analyze yourself. So think with me. Here's the question. What does that mean? That this hearer has no root in himself. What do you think that means? I mean, obviously, we don't, like a plant, have roots that anchor us to the ground, absorb water, store food. Okay, it's not a literal root. So what does it mean that this hearer who listens to a chapel special like we just heard, and maybe even had a tear escape their eye, maybe even said amen, like we heard all around the auditorium, because they immediately, with joy, receive that word, that seed, that truth that was taught, yet we find that they had no root in himself, and it dureth, it endures for just a little while without a root. Again, I gave you a chance to come up with your own opinion. My opinion, the root of a Christian is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And there's verses we can go to prove that. Probably the best one, Colossians 2:7, where I'm commanded to be rooted and built up in Christ. Okay, he is to be my root, okay? And if I'm not rooted, if I don't have my own relationship with Jesus, I might sit in a chapel service, listen, and agree, but I'm not going to endure. You know, there are some of you in this room, or let's just take all of you. Some of you know me, some of you don't. Probably if I were to ask you to do something for me, if you don't know me, and if it wasn't too terribly inconvenient for you, probably out of kindness, you would do whatever I asked you to do, right? Okay, there are others in this room, many of you. As I sat here and I looked around, and of course I was looking at young people that I know, kids that I taught, kids that I've coached, kids that I know well. Now, there's a group of young people in here that they would allow themselves to be inconvenienced a little more than the average Hiles Anderson College student. You know why? Because we have a relationship, right? Now hold on. You know where I'm going with this, right? Okay, some of you, I have no idea where you're going with. Okay, well, hey, we're going there, so just stay with me, okay? Some of you would allow yourselves to be inconvenienced a little more because of your relationship with me. Does that make sense? There are two Hiles Anderson College students that would probably do about whatever I asked them to do. Those are my two girls. Those are my daughters. I am their father. And because of that relationship I have with them, I believe they would do about whatever I asked them to do. Now you know where I'm going with this. Do you know why sometimes Christians balk at what they're being asked to give? It's because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? I mean, that relationship with him is going to dictate how much you allow yourself to be inconvenienced. And now watch, and don't miss this. Those two girls that I call my own, do you know if they're here at the college to make me happy because of their relationship with their father, they might stay here for 4 years and might even graduate. But somewhere along the way, if they're going to endure, as the verse says, in this thing called the Christian life, they can't be enduring because of my root, because of my godly foundation. They have to have their own godly foundation. And there are many of you in this room that the reason you came to Hiles Anderson College was because of your relationship with your mom or dad. And they thought, hey, this is a good place to go. That's not a bad reason to go to college. Some of you, it's because of your relationship with your youth pastor. Some of you, it's because of your relationship with your pastor at home, okay? But somewhere along the line, you have to develop your own root, your own relationship with Jesus. And I have to do that. Otherwise, by and by, I will be offended. I will endure for a short time. That is my future. If I hear the word of God, even agree with it, but I don't have my own godly foundation. Do you agree with that? Okay, now, I've read books, and I won't mention the titles of them, and many of you have, that tell us 70% of Christian young people walk away from church and don't ever come back. How many of you heard a stat like that? Okay? Sometimes 70%, I'm in different percentages. In this story, in Jesus' parable, it's 75%. You understand that? We got four groups of people. Only one of them stick around. Forgetful hearer, he's out of here. He doesn't know what that was all about, okay? The second one, that foundationless hearer, they can agree with the truth, but eventually they're not going to stick around because they have no root in themselves. Does that make sense? Look at number three. Verse number 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Okay, I call this one the fortune honey hearer just because I needed another F, okay? But you get the idea of what that verse just said. It said this is somebody who hears the word of God like us. And by the way, when it comes to number three, here's why I believe number three applies in great abundance to us. Because number one, that soil, the wayside soil, that's not a very good place to plant a plant, okay? How about on stones? Do you think that would be a good place to plant a plant? Okay, not really. That's not good soil to begin with. If you don't have your own relationship with God, you're not good soil to begin with, okay? This one, this seed grows. This soil, this person's heart is a good place. Wants to listen to God's word. Wants to improve. When the chapel speaker says something like, hey, you want to be productive for God, don't you? You would say, amen. I do. It's good soil. But something from the outside, not from this person's heart, something from the outside chokes it. Again, that's not a word that I choose. God chooses that word. Chokes it. What chokes it? This good Christian that cares about the things of God, that wants to be productive. Two things. And aren't you glad that the Bible is a miracle book? That every word is chosen on purpose. That applies not only to this generation, but certainly to our generation. And you know what will choke the word of God from such godly people in your life? The care of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. You're better than that. Don't let the world tell you different. You're not missing out on anything. There was a study that I read about where they would take 10 people, and these 10 people would be in a room. They're complete strangers. They didn't know one another. 9 of them were in on the study, and the 10th one didn't know what was going on. And they would give a color, and they would say, raise your hand when I show you the color orange. Okay, so they would show yellow, and nobody would raise their hand. And they would show blue, and nobody would raise their hand. They would show green, and 9 of the 10 people would raise their hand. The color he's supposed to raise his hand on is orange. And you know, the majority of the time in that study, that 10th person would look around, look at that green block, and sheepishly raise his hand. It's not orange. It's green. But 9 other people say it's orange, so it must be orange. Can I tell you something? Just because the internet says it doesn't mean it's true. You understand? And just because we live in a sin-sick world that is all messed up in their thinking doesn't make it true. You have the answer. An abundant life. That's why God came. Not only to take care of salvation, but to give you a great life, a great marriage, a great ministry. That's why he's here. Don't allow somebody to talk you out of it. The devil is so skilled at taking good Christian young people that have a good heart, good soil for that word and that seed, and then letting it grow a little bit, and then allowing the care of this world to choke it. How about the deceitfulness of riches? Proverbs says, I forgot what Proverbs says. That's why I paused. No, I paused for effect. No, I'm actually trying to remember what Proverbs said. Proverbs says, here it is. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. You know, I want to say for years, I don't want to exaggerate, but oftentimes I have quoted the first part of that proverb, normally a little quicker than I was able to do this morning, okay? However, I would say, the Bible says, Proverbs tells us, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. That's a good thing to remember. But I never put, cease from thine own wisdom, along with labor not to be rich. I guess I didn't really understand, why did God place them together? And I believe the reason God places those together is because if you don't cease from your own wisdom, you know what you might be dumb enough to do? You might just labor to be rich. Hey, I already told you, there's nothing better than the Christian life. There just isn't. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, I'm not perfect. My life isn't perfect. There isn't a person on the planet that I would trade places with. That man doesn't exist. And it's not because I'm awesome. I was dumb enough to follow God's leading in most cases in my life. You know that? But why don't you be that dumb? Why don't you cease from your own wisdom? Labor not to be rich. Because understand, the devil will use the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke all the good that you've listened to, that you've applied in your life. This last one, we'll look at it. Verse number 4. He that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Okay, look back this direction. You know, there was a time when I looked at that verse we just read, verse number 23, and I wish that Jesus would have spent a little more time on that. You know, you explained to me the seed sown by the wayside, and I understand. That's somebody who is not paying attention. You explained to me that seed sown among the stones, right? That's somebody that doesn't have a godly foundation. No relationship with Jesus. Okay, I get that. You explain to me this good soil and that seed that grows among the thorns and it gets choked out by the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. But then I see just a real quick explanation of this seed that is the fruitful hearer, right? And then here again, I'm going to tell you my opinion. This is Jesus' sermon. See if you agree with this. Then it dawned on me. Jesus explains to me how to be a productive, fruitful hearer in all the verses that go before that verse. If I want to be productive and fruitful, then here's the sermon. Number one, maybe I ought to pay attention when the Word of God is preached. How about that? Then I won't be the seed sown among the wayside, right? Maybe I need to work, number two, at having my own personal walk with God. Because then I wouldn't be the seed sown among stones, right? If I need to work at my own godly root. Maybe I need to work and understand that I don't want the care of this world, even though we live in this society. I don't want that dictating to me what my thoughts, what my attitudes, what my opinions, what my direction should be. This fruitful hearer, you know, you're not always going to be perfect at applying God's word, but let me tell you something, now watch me. God's watching you as your heavenly Father. And I promise you, okay, I can't promise you, this is just my opinion of God. As a father, when I see my children attempt to do what I've asked them, taught them to do, and that encourages me. You know what I want to do? I want to get in there right next to them and help them get it done. You know, sometimes they're no good at it. Sometimes they're doing it very poorly, okay? But when they're trying, I like that. I appreciate that. Are they always perfect? No, they're not. Okay, I remember, I'll say this and I'll be finished. I remember this year at school camp, my son Jeff, who is 9, came with me. We went to school camp, and there were some other children that were there, staff kids that had to bring their children along. You know, they didn't have to, but their children came along to school camp, and during one of the morning devotions, we were having a service, and I was looking at the crowd, and my son Jeff wasn't there. So I saw him later that day and said, "Hey, where were you during the service this morning?" He said, "Oh, we were playing foosball. If you've ever been to Indian Creek Camp, you know where the foosball court is, and they were in there playing human foosball." And I said, "No." I said, "Hey, if there's a service, you be in the service. Okay, you get there, and you tell the other guy, say, I'm going to service, and make sure you're in there." You know, I just completely forgot about it. Later that evening, I'm up on the platform. We're starting service for school camp. And so we're singing, and all of a sudden, if you know Indian Creek Baptist Camp, you know where the foosball court is, and then there's a big open field coming out to the tabernacle. I saw that little 9-year-old boy running across the field, coming to the tabernacle. You know, my first reaction was not, "That kid's like 2.5 minutes late. What's that little punk's problem?" No, that wasn't my first reaction. My first reaction is, "Hey, look at him, he's running. You know, he is a couple minutes late. He's not doing it perfectly, but you know what he's doing? He's doing what Dad told him to do." I like that. I appreciate that. Was he doing it perfectly? No, he wasn't. But he was trying. He was trying. Are you trying? Do you work to take the word of God that's given to you on a consistent basis? Do you work to put it into practice, to apply it in your life? You have a heavenly Father that's watching you, that wants you to be productive even more than you want to be productive. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving.